In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Dear Reverend Fathers, dear faithful, in our depictions of St. Michael the Archangel, we show him with a spear that he is thrusting through the neck of the devil with his right hand. In his left hand, he's holding the scales of justice, signifying that vengeance, the proper justice, has come to the devil. We depict his victory. It's this same victory that is portrayed in the book of the Apocalypse, when St. John, in chapter 12 of that book, says the following: "And there was a great battle in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and they did not prevail. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And that great dragon was cast out, that old serpent who is called the devil and Satan, who seduces the whole world. And he was cast onto the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him." So this passage from the Apocalypse, it refers both to the future, when, of course, at the end of the world, the devil will be definitively cast into hell forever. He will no longer prowl about this earth. But it also refers to the victory that St. Michael had already gained over the devil. You know that some mysterious time before the beginning of this world, there was a test given to the angels whereby they had to decide whether they would serve God or whether they would serve themselves. And a certain number of devils, bad angels, under the leadership of Lucifer, decided that they would not serve God. And then at that time, Michael stood up and he said, "Who is like God?" And he had a battle with the devil and his angels, and they were cast out of heaven. Later on today, when we sing Vespers, we will have this beautiful hymn that starts with the words, "Te Splendor." And one of the stanzas that we will sing goes as follows: "Michael bears thy standard dread and lifts the mighty cross on high. He in that sign the rebel power did with their dragon prince expel and hurled them from the heaven's high towers down like a thunderbolt to hell." The bottom line, my dear faithful, is that the devil is a loser. And the good angels, St. Michael and his angels, are the winners. And what happened for them is the same thing that happens for everyone. Whoever chooses God, attaches himself to God, serves God in his life, is a winner. Whoever rejects God, leaves God, is a loser for all eternity. And it's so important for us to remember that as we are still in our battle today, and especially in the context in which we live. We were chosen by God to live at this time when there are terrible evils in our world. The world is very evil. There's a terrible crisis in the church. And we can fall into the temptation of thinking that somehow evil is more powerful than good, or that somehow, though we're on the winning side, though we know we're on the winning side to the degree that we attach ourselves to God, that somehow the winning side is not as powerful as the losing side. We can have the impression that somehow the devil is more powerful than the good angels. And the devil can kind of live rent-free in our heads. In other words, he can occupy too much of our headspace. When someone's living rent-free in your mind, we say that when it's taking too much of your thought. You don't need to think about them so much, but somehow they're there a lot more than they should be. And this takes place when we're too focused on the devil and not focused enough on the good angels. We become more worried about driving the devil away than fostering devotion to St. Michael and our guardian angels and the rest of the angels. You know that it's become a certain fad among traditional Catholics to start praying these deliverance prayers, which are our prayers to drive the devil away. And in the introduction to these deliverance prayers, there's instructions about how to say them on your family members. And it's like, you know, husbands and wives exercising one another, like they're trying to drive the devil out from those around them, the supposition being that they're suspecting that the devil is pretty much everywhere and dominating the world around them. When I was growing up, it was just a question of you say your guardian angel prayer each day when you get up and when you go to bed. You say your St. Michael prayer, and then you're good. You don't have to worry about the devil because you're under the protection of the good angels, and they're a lot more powerful than the devil. But now it seems that the people, as I say, are giving to the devil too much. And so I just want to talk about today to remind us all of this fact that the good angels are a lot more powerful than the bad angels, so that we can have a great confidence in the good angels, so that we can strive to spend more time with the good angels than we spend time worrying about the influence of the devil. First of all, with the question of motivation, you know that St. Peter speaks about the devil as a roaring lion who prowls around in seeking whom he may devour. The devil is certainly a very motivated being. He is evil. He hates God. He hates you. He wants to send you to hell. We have to take him seriously. But at the same time, the good angels have their motivations, and their motivations, I would claim, are more powerful than the motivations of the devil. First of all, the good angels are motivated by a positive motivation. They have a very great love of God. They possess the vision of God. They are consumed with the love of God. And God, in his providence, he's given them this incredible mission, which we believe on faith, that to each angel he has assigned a certain person on this earth. This is this belief that we have that our Lord kind of refers to today when he says that the children have their own angel. God has assigned an angel to you to take care of you, to watch after you. And I think it's important for you to reflect and think about your angel and try to understand what might be his motivation in taking care of you. The fact that your angel is very proud, very happy to be having given a mission by God to take care of you, that his whole being is oriented towards God. He loves to serve God. And then God says to him, you know, Gabriel or Michael or whatever angel, I want you to take care of this soul on earth. I want you to protect this soul. I want you to try to get this soul to heaven. And the angel is just overjoyed to have this mission of taking care of a soul on this earth. You know, one of the things that the angels really want to do is to fill up heaven. There was a void left in heaven by the kicking out of the bad angels. And when they were driven out, there's certain spaces left. And you know, when you have a departure from a group, it's always sad when that happens. And these good angels, they want to put you in the place of those empty seats. They really desire to get you to heaven. So they have a very strong motivation. And we can think that there's many more good angels than there are bad angels. Tradition holds that because of the superiority of the angels and their pure intelligences, that it was one-third of them that fell. They fell into this terrible error of choosing themselves over God, and two-thirds of them remained faithful to God. And if this is the case, then there's twice as many good angels as there are devils. Secondly, with regards to the freedom of movement of the good angels and the bad angels. So, you know, St. Peter says that the devil prowls about. We speak about the devil prowling about in the St. Michael prayer. And it's true that the devil is restless. The devil never sleeps. He's always seeking to drag people into hell. Yet at the same time, his activity is limited. It's limited by God. The devil can only do what God allows him to do. Padre Pio, who fought with the devil, I mean, like personally, like hand-to-hand fight with the devil, he says the following: the demon is like a dog on a chain. Beyond the range of the chain, it cannot bite anyone, and you, therefore, keep your distance. If you get too near, it will get you. So the devil has only a certain limited amount of power. And if you give yourself over to the devil, that's when you're going to be in trouble. But as long as you do not want the devil, as long as you're calling upon the good angels, upon St. Michael, your guardian angel, then the devil can have no power over you. You know how it is when you're walking through a neighborhood and there's a dog and it's like barking at you. It's behind a link chain fence, you know. And as long as you're on the other side of the fence, it's all good. You're fine. But if you choose to jump on the other side of the fence, then you're going to get bit. You're going to get in trouble. And it's the same with us in our spiritual life. If I willingly put myself in the occasions of sin, if I go on the internet, I look at bad things, I start listening to bad music, I start watching bad movies, I start hanging around with the wrong people, then of course I'm opening myself up to the influence of the devil. If I fail to pray in time of temptation, if I'm not calling upon the good angels, if I'm not living my faith, of course I'm going to be weak, I'm going to be very vulnerable, and the devil's going to go after me. You know, it's a certain chastisement, we may say, from God that when a soul abandons God, God to a certain degree abandons the soul. Of course, God never holds a grudge. God's always going to give you graces. But at the same time, he gives you free will. And if you don't want God, if you turn away from God, he's going to let you do that. And then you go into the slavery of the devil. You put yourself under the power of the devil. So it's a question of your will. It's a question of what you want. If you don't want to be under the influence of the devil, you have the choice not to put yourself in these situations where you will fall into sin. Then with regards to the knowledge that the angels have, we have to understand that the good angels are a lot smarter than the bad angels. The reason for this is because the good angels see God, and God gives to them knowledge through the beatific vision, through the vision that they have. God gives special insights to the good angels. Those who are on the side of God always have the better judgment. They see more clearly what reality is. And that's certainly true of the good angels. Meanwhile, the devil, God's not helping the devil. The devil's left to his own resources. So he only has what he knows. He has to figure everything out by himself. Then lastly, with regards to the power that the angels have, of course, the devil only has his native power, his natural power, his angelic power. The devil is certainly smarter than us. The devil is more powerful than us because he has a higher nature. But again, God's not helping him out. He only has his own resources. Whereas God is giving knowledge to the good angels, God is giving power to the good angels. We think about the great saints, how God communicated incredible powers to them in order for them to accomplish their mission. And we can think that God does the same thing with the good angels. He assists them by special powers for them to fulfill the role of helping us get to heaven. And hopefully we see from this picture the consequences of being a winner versus being a loser. If you reject God, then you're going to be dumber. You're going to be weaker. That's the consequences. You won't have God with you. You're just left to yourself, our pathetic selves and our own limitations. But if you're on the side of God, God gives you knowledge. God gives you power. God gives you greater freedom of movement in your soul. And this is a very great blessing that comes to us from the service of God, that God certainly gives to the good angels, and does not give to the devil. I want to share with you a beautiful story of a French actress. Her name was Eve Lavallière. She was like the most popular actress in France in the early 1900s. She was so popular, she said she had gold like flowing through her hands. She had her own line of perfume. She had her own line of fashion wear, you know. She was basically the top of the acting world. And she was getting overwhelmed with all the stardom, as often happens to the stars. So she decided to rent a chateau in the countryside for a certain period of time in preparation to coming to the United States and to do some shows. And when she was there, she met the local curé, you know, the parish priest, and she had this conversation with him. She started to talk to him very frankly about some seances that she had been a part of, you know, where they summon the devil and they talk to the devil. Here's what she said to him. "I took the advantage of the occasion of the seance to ask the devil to restore my youth, which was what I most desired, and to cure me of enteritis. Satan promised he would do so on the condition that I would become his. I accepted, adding that my lifestyle was perfect for gaining him many followers. Obviously quite content, he disappeared. Some days later, I was at another session with the new presence of the devil. I denounced him for failing to fulfill his promise. In reply, he guaranteed that he would grant what I asked, but under one more condition, that I not bless myself when I encountered a funeral. That was the only vestige of religiosity that remained in me. But Satan still did nothing for me. In the following session, filled with indignation, I called him an imposter and a cheat. By then, I had concluded that spiritism was nothing but a farce and that the devil did not exist." Well, of course, the devil exists, and the priest told her that. But what was happening here? It was that the devil was promising things that he could not do. He can only do what God allows him to do. He would have loved him to be able to cure her, to get her under his power. But God said, no, I will not give you the power to do this. And this woman, she underwent a very powerful conversion. She gave up her life of acting. She led a very holy life from that point forward. She became a Third Order Franciscan. She dedicated her life to works of charity. And she had put on her tombstone, it's like, I gave up my life for God. God alone was sufficient for me. Because she had the whole world, she gave it all up for God. God was enough for her. So my dear faithful, it's so important that we have a balance in respect to our spiritual life, that we understand that God is always more powerful than evil. The good angels are much more powerful than the devil. And the main thing is that we keep ourselves on the side of God, that we live a devout Catholic life. If we are leading that devout Catholic life, we have an interior life, we pray to our guardian angel, we pray to St. Michael the Archangel, those angels are definitely going to keep us safe from the devil. We won't have to worry about the devil. And it's especially in this month, this upcoming month, where we have this Feast of St. Michael today, we have the Feast of the Guardian Angels on Tuesday, and then St. Raphael on October the 24th, that we must try to renew our devotion to these holy angels. We must try to pray to them, as I say, on a regular basis, and have a great confidence in them, not think that somehow the devil is going to sneak up on us if we have this confidence in the angels, if we're praying to them and we're counting on their protection. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.